And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
What up?
At DFF underscore Madman. And Shane Manila.
I have a microphone.
At DFF underscore Shane. Yes, Shane now has a real big boy microphone now going forward. except,
more importantly,
except we have this awesome guest tonight who's going to hang out with us all night, and we have Tim Torch with us. How you doing, Tim?
I'm great. This has been the best pre-show ever in terms of just talk with. I mean, everyone's cracking up laughing this entire time. We actually helped figure out how to plug in a microphone because apparently you have to plug the thing in order for it to work. So this has been great. I can't thank you guys enough for inviting me on.
Absolutely. Yeah, Shane got a big boy microphone, but he never plugged it into his computer.
Big boy.
So the guest actually got to show him how to configure his microphone.
Which is a continuing streak. A guest comes on and show Shane how to do something that a six-year-old should have.
Well, thank you very much, Tim. We're really, yes, Jeremy and I were talking to him for a while before that, and we didn't know what was going on with his mic. So thank you very much. So yes, Tim is here tonight. He's going to hang out with us and talk about everything. But before we get started, Tim, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. This has really been a journey for me. I started out very early on. I actually responded to a Twitter post from Dynasty Nerds, and they were just looking for writers, didn't really need experience, just wanted someone who was really excited about football. So I started there. Gosh, it was probably about 4 years ago now. So I wrote with them for a while, started the scouting report with them, did a lot of rookie coverage and helped bring in a lot of guys. I started Dynasty Happy Hour with Chris Whitman at the time and Tyler Gunther. So I actually helped those guys get started. And the first two podcasts, one or two that they had, I was actually with them as kind of the editor or producer, whatever you want to call it. And it was funny because about a week or two into recording that show, that's when UTH actually called and said, you know what, we have an open spot and we would like to bring you and Katie on board. And that whole thing was just really organic because Chad, I, and Katie started out just in a group chat together and then kind of built some rapport just talking. And then we were invited on the show and now it is what it is. I mean, I'm part of UTH Dynasty and this off season has just been great. I've done this show. I did the Sonic Truth with Matt Kelly that I heard you guys had on a few weeks ago. Yes. And he was actually sharing with me that I can't remember who it was. Actually, the first episode of Roto Underworld that someone listened to was the UTH one.
That was me. Yeah, that was me.
So it's just been a really awesome journey, and no matter what you see on Twitter, it's just really cool to be able to talk to guys, laugh a little bit, and have some fun talking football.
That's great. Yeah, no, we've, like you said, as you can see in the pre-show, we've already been talking and laughing for almost an hour now. So before we get on to all the rest of the stuff we wanted to talk about, we do need to mention our sponsor. And this podcast is brought to you by gtbets.eu, the official sponsor for the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast. And, you know, if you're looking to get into some action on today's games, head on over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs with the updated odds covering all major sports. The bottom line, GTBets.eu will have you placing your first bet within minutes with their simple-to-use registration process. Register now and earn up to $500 in free money. Just simply add TradesHQ into the referred buy field to get the highest possible welcome bonus. So when you sign up, just put in TradesHQ and you'll get a bonus for some money.
And I just lost some money on there on the Masters this weekend.
Oh, did you?
Last weekend.
Last week you won some money. This week you lost it then.
Well, that's why you shouldn't gamble on things you have no idea about. Like I put money on Phil Mickelson. I don't even know if he was in the Masters this year.
Tiger Woods still plays, still right? Alive.
He did. He does.
Wait. You bet on golf and you don't even watch golf or anything?
I watch the majors, whatever. I have an addiction, a gambling habit, whatever you want to call it.
All right. Well, tonight, you know, it's pretty awesome to have Tim here because for Tim and Jeremy both live like really close to each other, I guess. And they're both Cleveland Browns fans. So we one of So one of the things we were going to talk about before we get started on everything else is some of the signings. And we were talking about Jarvis Landry signing his contract with the Browns. So I know, Tim, you said you liked that and you were happy with it. And why don't you talk about it?
Oh, I didn't say I was happy with it at all.
You didn't say that at all.
I love the guest gets words put in his mouth, so maybe it's good recording this so I have audio evidence of what I said. No, I don't think it's a crazy signing because you have to look at the money that's going around right now. Sammy Watkins signed for $16 billion-ish. Allen Robinson signed for right around the same number. So you have to think it's right around market value for an X receiver, but you're definitely not talking about an X receiver. I'm surprised. Definitely feels like it's a bit much money, but hey, they're spending the cap that they have. So when you're sitting on $100 million worth of cap, Joe Thomas retires, who was one of the highest paid tackles in the NFL, you're going to have a little bit extra on top of having $100 million to play with. So it makes sense from everything I understand about Jarvis Landry. He's on top of being a really good volume type of receiver, he's a good locker room guy. He pushes guys. So the young guys that they have in that locker room, like Corey Coleman, Josh Gordon, he may be able to whip in shape a little bit more than physically. Might be able to keep him a little bit more straight off the field. And it's a good outlet for a young quarterback that's probably going to be coming in too.
Well, maybe it wasn't so much about the money that you liked, but then I guess, was it Jeremy? Were you the one that was happy about the signing?
I don't recall saying that either. I know that Jarvis Landry is...
All right, well, then I'm just throwing it out there that nobody's happy, but go ahead.
You're really happy.
I think you can, you know, it's inferred. You can imply that. I'm glad that they... I think it's a good move that they did sign him. I think it's telling that Jarvis Landry, like Tim said, is a valuable player. You know, you're talking about a slot guy, but at the same time, he's been criticized for the, you know, the 7 yards, no matter whether you need 5 or 10. Jarvis Landry's getting you 7. You throw the ball farther. I think he's going to be great for that team. I think he's going to be ideal in the slot. And I think he and Tyrod Taylor are going to have something there for the season. We'll see what happens beyond. But they need to spend some money, and that's the right kind of player to do it. They need to spend some money on offense. You can't just have a team full of rookies in the NFL on offense all at the same time. You kind of have to have some tiered ages. So I think he's doing great. Yeah. I don't know if I'd throw that much money at him, but I'm glad they signed him long term because he's one of my favorite players.
Well, one more thing I'll say is that he's on a 5-year deal. So you would expect they have a rookie quarterback coming in that's going to be around for 5 years. So they get out of that contract about the time they would have to pay a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and I was just going to mention
that.
And
we don't know what the money – I'm going to cut you off. We don't know what the money is going to look like either. So, I mean, a lot of that could be front-loaded since they do have so much cap space over the next even 2 years, I think. So they could just front-load the hell out of that contract where the final 3 or 4 – or well, if we're looking at a 5-year deal, even last four years of it might not be that bad.
Okay, so
if you look at averages just annually, he's with AJ Green, right, at 15 mil. I mean, the only players above that right now are Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins, and Sammy Watkins. I mean, that's good company. Sorry.
Yeah,
Brandon Cooks is going to come in there too, right?
Oh, geez. Yeah, but it's like any sport. You don't have to be the best to have the best contract. You just need to be a free agent at the right time.
Well,
or
okay.
Impending free agent.
All right, but so we've gone off with regular NFL, but what about fantasy, dynasty, all that kind of stuff? Well, what does this value mean when he signs this 5-year deal with this team?
That means he's not going anywhere for 5 years.
No, I'm talking about it. First of all, are you typing while I'm talking to you?
No, I'm not.
The whole screen shaking and everything. No, I'm saying, like, does it make his value go up, down? You're going to buy him, sell him, trade him?
It makes me feel better. Of course, it makes me feel better having him, thinking that I can get more if I trade him away. And it makes me feel more secure if I have him. You know, I can hold him longer. I mean, that's a good sign that they signed him, sure, as far as dynasty goes. For me, I don't see anything negative about it.
Tim?
It's not like with Jordan Matthews and the 1-year deal in New England, right? That's a little scary.
Oh, yeah. We need to go back to the conversation we had last week. Now that
we're talking about Jarvis Landry.
Yeah.
We can get back to
saying,
that.
That one-year deal does not infuse confidence, yet I love Jordan Matthews. But it's, you know, oh, 1 year, you know, prove it. It's different. I mean, you approach that differently, don't you, you guys? I mean, when you're thinking about how long these guys might be signed, I like the guys either way. But I'm just saying, does it affect what you think about them, the one-year versus five-year deal? I mean, well, it's a good point.
Absolutely. I mean, after everything we went through last week and then we woke up Monday morning with people discussing it, once we saw that contract, I believe that. I'm sorry, Tim, you were going to say something before and I cut you off. Go ahead.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I guess I'll say something now. This is a great start for you, man. One of the reasons I love Evan Silva so much on Twitter is because he does the research I really don't want to do. So he put out a tweet today that said, no wide receiver or no player to play with Tyrod Taylor at QB has ever caught more than 60 passes in a season. And he's put him generously at 70 for the year. It's just really interesting. A guy who's used to like 130, 150 targets. I don't really think we're going to be there. You're going to be lucky if he's at 100 targets this year.
Well, I said this a few weeks ago. Yeah, just you're going to buy Jarvis Landry at about 4 or 5 weeks into the season after his numbers look like trash. Because Tyrod, I'm sure everyone knows he's just a bridge. And quite honestly, he might lose his job, halfway through the season, depending on who they draft. So though next year is probably going to be down for Jarvis Landry, after that, I'm fine buying him while his stock's
I've
down.
I've been on record saying that I think the Browns may actually end up trading Corey Coleman. And I wouldn't be surprised if right now is the time to buy Jarvis Landry, because if Evan Silva says it, you know there's going to be that little bit of a bump down in terms of his value. This may actually be a great time to at least inquire about Jarvis Landry and say,
I agree.
Hey, how much are you really looking to go? You might be able to get him for what, a really late first, early to mid second, that in terms of rookie picks, and obviously it depends if you're trying to trade out for a veteran or something, but that may actually end up working in your favor, because if Coleman or Gordon, one of those other two targets are gone, you may actually see a significant uptick for Landry.
Yeah, and I think people are down on him already in general just because he left Miami where he was this golden egg laying swan. I mean, now he's, you know, with the Browns, oh my God, he's never going to eclipse what he did in Miami. It's impossible. And Shane and I were talking a couple weeks back that, you know, at some point, he's gonna have a resurgence because he's gonna be playing with a younger quarterback again, and he's only what, 25 years old? I mean, he's a young player still, and so this year might be a down year even in his production, but that doesn't mean as a dynasty asset he's not going to be a boon and a buy low and capitalize on guy in the future, because his value is definitely down for most people.
You're going to have to share that tweet with me so I can retweet it as well, because I only have 2 shares of Jarvis. That's a little low.
That's a little low for you.
That's a little low.
Well, you know, Tim, having you here, there is one question to ask you that would be interesting to get your perspective on it. What do you think the Browns are going to do with that 1 and the 4?
This is something I've actually answered a couple of times now, because there's 2 different ways of looking at it. Are you going to look at it as what I would love them to do, or what I'm unfortunately expecting them to do? What I would love them to do is, if they get Baker Mayfield number 1, I think if they go Saquon Barkley, Chubb, or Quentin Nelson at 4, you're gold. Or if they trade down for everything the Bills have this year, plus not everything, but their 2 firsts and a first next year, that would be a major win for the Browns. But what I'm expecting them to do, I don't want them to. This is worst case scenario, but I mean the Josh Allen stuff just feels like it might be a little too much smoke, but I would be okay with Darnold. And then I do see them trading out of that 4 pick, as long as it's not Ronald Jones that they end up with. Please, anything other than Ronald Jones.
I gotta be honest with you, for dynasty purposes, I don't want them near Saquon.
Right. So, and that's another thing that I've said a couple of times roundabout that people think I'm crazy about. There's been reports that have come out that have said the Browns have started negotiations with Duke Johnson, and right off the bat, they started really far apart. So if that's the case, then maybe you see Duke Johnson go somewhere else. Saquon Barkley comes in year one. I don't know. Obviously, I'm just kind of musing on what could or couldn't happen. But these are just the things that are going through my head right now. The coaching staff, yes, they've had Duke. Yes, he's been a productive receiver, but they could move on from him, just use him to move around a little bit more in the draft. I don't know, but I think that could be a realistic possibility. I don't think it's going to be Barkley, Duke, and Hyde. I would expect two of those three, but I have no problems with Chubb or trade down or Quentin Nelson, because I do think that you can't really go wrong with having too much offensive line help.
Well, that's cool. Well, now, the other signing that we were going to discuss. That's cool. Well, I mean, what else am I going to say? Hey, you know, hey.
Disagree with him.
Well, I do agree with him. What does that's cool mean? Doesn't that mean I agree with him?
No, I said disagree with him.
Well, no, I don't. I'm not going to disagree because I agree with him.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You're the only.
Listen, I must have my microphone unhooked from my computer right now.
Listen, I disagree with you more. I agree with Tim. But the other signing we were going to discuss was Cameron Meredith signing the 2-year deal with the Saints. And
well, more importantly, Chicago's decided not to match the signing sheet.
Well, as always, you cut me off before I finish. So that's what I was going to say.
Too long to get importantly, there. Well, you said more importantly. As importantly, I don't know.
Oh, my God. Okay, fine. Go ahead.
It's very important. Kind of important.
It's super important.
Shane said, more importantly, the Bears didn't re-sign him. I don't think it's more important that the Bears didn't sign him. I think it's just as important that the Saints did.
For people that are listening,
I'm more happier you brought this up.
You know, if I saw that on a page, I'd be so pissed right now.
I was just going to say, for those listening, Jeremy and Shane are both editors for the site. So
doesn't mean I know how to speak.
No, but Jeremy does. So, all right. Well, why don't
you? Sticking up for you, Sipes. Shut up.
No, wait. Listen.
So real quick, look at Cameron Meredith's profile on the player profile page.
Oh, my God. Hey, OCD guy.
Yes, go on. And now let's speak about Cameron Meredith. Do it, Shane. You do it.
Well, no, he's good. I mean, your only fear is that his knee is that injured and it's not going to bounce back if the Bears weren't even willing to tender him anything beyond – they offered him an original tender, which was, I forget, something minor, because he was undrafted.
They
wouldn't
have gotten anything.
So no money. So they would have gotten no compensation. So they had to write a first refusal,
yep,
which they also turned down. They're like, no, we didn't want him in the first place. We still really don't want him. And that does make me a little nervous. That does make me a little nervous. But if anyone's buying on him, I will sell, except that I don't own him anywhere because I checked earlier.
I love the share because it feels like you're just a guy that's constantly checking how many shares you have of a particular player at any given time. That's great.
No, you know what? No, I do. And I'm surprised sometimes. I'm like, wow, I don't own any of this guy. Like, how is that possible?
He made me check today. I was surprised. I wasn't sure how many shares I had of certain players, but I found out I had 9 shares of two different guys that I think highly of. I was glad. I thought I had fewer shares.
And I have no problem calling them shares. I don't care if people don't like that. I don't know what else.
What else are you going to say?
The funny part of the whole thing was MFL was down for, you know, 3 or 4 days when this all happened. So I know a lot of people that as soon as the site came back up, people were throwing out offers, trying to grab Cameron Meredith where they can get him.
Did you see a lot of trade offers? Did you get any offers?
No, I didn't get any, but I don't have Cam Meredith on any of my teams. But I did see trades get done, and I did see people talking about it on Twitter. And then they were also talking about their favorite TV show polls because nobody can get on MFL.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
TV Dads or something like that.
Some stupid right. Yeah, I was in a good one. I was in a hip-hop artist poll. I wasn't in one of those loser polls.
It was the most productive I've been at work for a very long time.
Exactly.
I'll bring it back in a little bit. I guess I'll go that route. Cam Meredith, I think it's a great signing. Brandon Coleman, you don't have to worry about. If Cam Meredith really is healthy, you don't have to worry about him anymore. There's a ton of pieces there, though, because you do have Michael Thomas. I think an underrated signing that surprisingly not many people are bringing up, Ben Watson, went back to the Saints. And I think he could be a really sneaky tight end premium type of guy that was productive, somewhat productive with with the Ravens last year. And when he was with the Saints, I think he saw over 100 targets. He was a tight end one when he was with the Saints. I wouldn't be surprised to see them actually draft a tight end in the first round. But maybe the one piece of information that not many people are going too far in because they don't want to say his name is Kevin White. And that's that. In my opinion, this looks like the Chicago Bears are moving on from Cam Meredith. And they're saying, you know what, Kevin White, we did sign Allen Robinson to take some pressure off of you. We signed Trey Burton to kind of run some intermediate routes. You're going to be the guy that's putting kind of a flanker type of role. This is your chance to do something. That's just my read of the situation. They have a first round pick invested in this guy and they don't want him to be a complete bust.
Yeah, run fast and at least be a decoy for crying out loud. Right. And don't get hurt. Just run.
And they still have Taylor Gabriel.
Yeah, so, they do have Taylor Gabriel. I forgot about that signing. That's a good signing. So they didn't really need Cam Meredith, but it is still just interesting that the offer they tendered him was basically right of first refusal. And I can't believe they're banking on Kevin White in any terms whatsoever. I can't imagine.
Throwing it out.
Yeah, I understand that because if the guy can stay on the field, I mean, he comps to Breshad Perriman, who's a physical. Oh, wait. damn it.
Well, you know, it's funny, Tim. One of the things that I saw when you mentioned about Ben Watson, I had saw that somewhere they were reported that Ben Watson, Cameron Meredith, and Michael Thomas are all 6'3". They're all big guys. So they've got these three big guys there now for Breeze to chuck it down the field to. But we didn't do it again. We spoke NFL-wise, but we didn't speak fantasy-wise. When you're talking about the kind of contract that he signed, are you going to be trading for him? Are you going to be keeping him? Are you going to be shopping him? What are you doing? Because I know with MFL being down, like I said, people came in and then Shane made fun of me. But are you going to try to get him, Shane? Are you going to try to get him, Jeremy, Tim? Are you going to try to get him, move him? What are you doing?
If I'm not actively targeting him. If somebody wants to ship him over to me for a late second round pick, I'll take it. If I owned him, I'd be trying to trade him for a first round pick late, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know who will pay it. Someone will, probably. You could talk up the situation, how he'll be, you know, running out of the slot for the Saints with Michael Thomas, you know, on the outside, taking most of the good coverage. And you still have Alvin Kamara there, who's probably going to, have another 80 receptions. Like Tim said, you have Ben Watson, who, he was a beast there when he was there a couple of years ago. So Cam Meredith is probably going to be one of those players that he's better for real life football for the Saints than he is for your fantasy rosters.
Well, yeah, you have Ingram too. I mean, it's not like he doesn't catch. And you have Ted Ginn, who's actually better than a lot of people think. I mean, Snead's not like gone yet. I mean, he's not going to yield a role necessarily completely. But I mean, Ginn is big. And you have, what's Cameron Meredith besides the slot and maybe a backup receiver, three wide guy. I don't know. I'm not buying him is all I'm saying. But I have him. I'll try to get what I can out of him. I'm definitely not going after that guy.
See, and I like him
fine. I don't like the situation at all.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say is I liked him in a better situation. I'm buying in on him, but not where he's going to be. I don't know. The third target in that offense, I'm guessing, behind Thomas and Kamara.
Well, if we bring it back to a show from a couple weeks ago, we had Matt Kelly on the show, and he was the final thing he wanted to tell us was he was promoting go out there and buy some shares of Austin Carr. So how does this affect that?
No, he's dead. Yeah, he's dead. I mean, you know what? That's those. But who cares? That's one of those. If you trade it for Austin Carr, if anyone actually owned him, you probably traded a fourth round pick, or you just picked them up off the waivers. So you know, you drop them quietly tomorrow, and no one cares.
I mean, Carr is still developing too, guys. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I think what Matt was getting at, and I did like the point that he had is that to buy Carr, if I remember correctly, he was a guy that went back and forth between New England and New Orleans a couple of times. So that may be another guy to look at as, hey, he may flip rosters between those two again, And especially, I think those two teams specifically actually like to practice together during the preseason. So that may be a situation that happens. But I personally like buying those slot receivers, and I find myself doing that a little bit more often. So Ryan Switzer is a guy that UTH and Jordan McNamara has been promoting since the Senior Bowl last year. He actually had an interview with him where he actually pissed Ryan Switzer off. So that was pretty funny.
Really?
Yeah. Austin Carr is a good one. But even Cole Beasley, I don't think people are really buying into what Cole Beasley could be, because tomorrow we could actually hear news that Dez Bryant's being released if he doesn't take a pay cut from Dallas. So Cole Beasley may end up being, I don't know if the wide receiver one, but he may be the target guy there because they don't really have too many other options outside of a rookie that they may or may not draft.
So before we get on to the main topic,
I want to go back to what Tim was talking about now, though. I don't care. Let's talk about some Dez.
All right. Well, before we were going to talk about this other stuff, I was going to have you talk about the Scouting Academy first. So could you do that first and then we'll talk about Dez?
Okay, sure. Are you tired of sitting at parties where everyone else is talking about pad levels and you don't know what they're talking about?
Do you think they're talking about a woman?
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. We're going to have Tim on more often, but go ahead. Yes.
Are your friends always talking about hitting the second level and you have no idea what they mean? Well, go on the DFF website and click on the Scouting Academy. Not only will you start to learn what these things mean, you'll also save $50. Sign up today. So once Dez Bryant is cut tomorrow, I don't know.
So start with this, Shane. If tomorrow lunchtime you're having yourself a bologna sandwich and some Ruffles potato chips, and you hear the news,
just off yourself first of all, because that's a horrible lunch and your life is not going the way it should. I'm sorry, yeah, nice to have
you. You see it pop up, Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant has been cut by the Dallas Cowboys, and you have no other information other than that. What is your immediate response? So start immediately
sending out offers for him in every league.
Okay, so Dez Bryant, you're just saying he's probably going to be a guy that I want. But going back to the Cowboys, and the weapons that they have there, is there anyone that you would actually look to buy?
You said weapons for Dallas. That's hilarious. You know what? I'm fine trying to shop for Allen Hurns a little bit. But again, sensitive to cost. I mean, we're talking late second round, third rounder. That's all you're getting out of me. Because the guy did have a really good season. I know it's a few years ago now. Outside of that, yeah, I guess Cole Beasley, because they have to throw the ball to someone.
Right.
Is there ever going to be a time where T. Will's going to do something?
Terrence Williams, yep.
No.
I've had Terrence Williams on so many teams. I want him to do something finally.
No, it's not going to happen. He's had numerous opportunities. Like, this isn't like where he's had like two games here and there. Like, he's had a lot of chances to show that he could be anything more than a solid low end role player.
Okay, so what are they going to do then? If Dez is cut, what are they going to do?
They're shit out of luck. Who are they going to get? They're gonna have to rebuild through the draft, obviously. So right. Cortland Sutton is all the rage to them.
Yep. I think you nailed it. In terms of what we're looking at, you really need to be price agnostic in terms of what you're willing to pay for any of these guys. Because I have no problem thinking that if Dez was cut, then tomorrow someone's going to start shopping Allen Hurns. Like, it is their job. And as soon as they try to find someone with a early second round pick, a late first, we always keep throwing that out. But if someone comes to you and says, I want 112 for Allen Hurns, you just have to be aware that the draft still hasn't happened. And if you're looking for a landing spot, if you're looking for Cortland Sutton, Christian Kirk, even they may end up doing the Jacksonville Jaguars type of thing where they load up in the second and third round, like they did with Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson. So they may look to double dip a little bit in terms of the wide receiver class this year. Just be aware of that in your head. Don't go too hard for these veteran guys because we still have so much left of the process.
Well,
and
that's
if a team, and if there's any team, I'm sorry, Michael, if there is a team that needs to double dip, it is most definitely Dallas at the wide receiver position. I hate Dallas, obviously, because I'm an Eagles fan. But from a fantasy perspective, I would love to see Cortland Sutton and maybe James Washington on the same team. Oh, my God. Dak Prescott would just, his value would skyrocket and I could sell him off. And I wouldn't have to root for a Dallas quarterback anymore.
Well, it is funny. Part of what we've talked about, Tim, over the last couple of months is that we have all these phases in the off season of when you're talking about players' values and everything, but it always comes back to, we don't know what's going to happen until the draft happens. And now, what are we, 2 weeks from tonight, till we finally will know where some of these guys are going, and it'll make us have a clearer picture of what we're doing. And you know, that might be a little bit of a side thing to ask you about. I know with you working on UTH and all that kind of stuff, how are you feeling about the rookie picks and the rookies going into this draft? Are you trading to try to get up in that first round? Are you trading out of the first round? What are you doing this year with your picks?
So I've probably offended some people with how hard I've went after the 101 pick. In a recent draft, I took him at 103. At another draft, I took him at 104. Some version of him, whether it was the 101 rookie pick or actually taking himself in a draft. So I think it's Saquon Barkley. If you're not taking him, I actually recommend people start to move down in the draft a little bit. And the reason I say that is because if you're looking in that late first round, so if you're at 110, 111, 112, or early second round, there are so many good pieces that are going to be there, and value is just going to be pushed down. Especially if we're talking about a super flex this year, can you imagine you're going to have five, maybe six first round quarterbacks that you're going to be able to work with in the first round of a rookie draft, and then all of this other talent. And I'm not even a fan of the Calvin Ridley's, the DJ Sharks that may end up sneaking into the early second part around Calvin Ridley, the first round. So this draft just feels like it's ready made for people to move down. I would love if you're sitting at 102 and you're in a super flex league, move down to 107, 108 and just build that capital, whether it's for this year and next year. That seems like such a smart move for someone to make, because you know you could still get a quarterback there. You could still get what maybe Rashad Penny falls there. Cortland Sutton may fall there. DJ Moore may fall there. Royce Freeman. There's so many options this year, and I feel like they're all good options. Whereas other drafts, you're just like, oh, this sucks. I hate being here. Whereas you have Barkley, and then I'm probably going to trade down if I'm not. I guess Geis is, if he's your guy and you're going to pound the table for him, I like Geis a lot. So I do feel I'm willing to take a stand on him. I like Nick Chubb a lot. But that's the thing. I'm going to keep saying that I like these guys a ton. I like Sony Michel. I like Rashad Penny. I like Royce Freeman. I go later. I love Ito Smith. And
I agree.
And Bo Scarborough tested so much better than we thought he would. There's just so many names I can keep going with that – maybe the bigger picture we look at, maybe we want as many rookie picks as we can, because this running back class is going to absolutely destroy the veteran group of runners that we have in the league right now.
I've given up pretty much my children's soul in trades for Barkley, and I'm okay with that. I sleep like a baby because Barkley's going to be that good, so I don't care. You know, they'll deal with it.
Hey, I love your kids. No, don't trade their souls.
Yeah, outside of Barkley and DJ Moore, there's a really, if I can't get Barkley, I'm not, you know, obviously, if you don't have the 101 right now, you probably shouldn't trade for it, because you're not going to get a deal. You're going to get fleeced and your team's going to suck, but you'll have one good player. But outside of him, the only other guy I think I'm really targeting, you know, I'll be happy with a ton of other guys that fall to me wherever I might be and trade back for it. But the only guy I'm targeting is DJ Moore.
Well, it is funny. We did a rookie draft with an article on our website over at dynastyfootballfactory.com. And when I had my pick, I believe I was like four or whatever, I said some of the stuff that you were saying, Tim, especially in a super flex, there is so much talent that's going to fall into that late first round, into the second round, because everybody's grabbing all these quarterbacks. And that's what I actually did in those mock drafts, and also in one of my real drafts that was Superflex. You get some really good talent falling down into that second round. So that's why I had asked you what you were doing, whether you were trading first, trading seconds, what you were looking for.
I would, as much draft capital as you can, and I'm sorry to correct you, but you should have said this podcast is the number 3 rated fantasy football podcast, according to Ryan McDowell's Twitter poll.
Well, thank you very much.
Which I really appreciate being a part of. UTH wasn't even mentioned, so.
Well. Thank you very much, Tim, for mentioning that. Yes, we've had a lot of fun doing the show, and apparently people are responding to it and they like it, and we're glad that you're here having fun with us tonight too. You know, all right. So listen. So the topic that we were going to talk about. I mean, we've gone over so many different things tonight, but we had a question on Twitter from @PWinDynasty.
And yeah, he didn't ask us. He asked in general.
No. I'm not saying he asked us, but we responded to him telling him that we were going to talk about it tonight. I know he didn't ask us. And, you know, Just be quiet, Shane. So,
I just don't want people thinking we think every question that's on Twitter is directed at us. That's all.
Most micromanagers know a little something. Come on, man.
Yeah, but listen, hey, let's take it as everybody's asking us, okay? You know, whether they are or not. So
the question was.
Go ahead. What was the question, Shane?
I don't have the sheet up. I'm playing on Twitter. I thought you were going to get to it.
Oh my God, I was, but you cut me off.
The question was.
Right. He said. Dude,
what to do if you don't know what pad level is?
That
goes back to the pre-show.
BFF link.
Oh my God. That goes back to the pre-show stuff that someday maybe we'll do something. So his question was, I have a topic for some Dynasty podcast to discuss. I'm very interested in hearing some in-depth conversation. In-depth, okay? When evaluating a dynasty trade or draft, do you think about how many shares you have in all of your other leagues? And it's funny because Jeremy and I had talked about that a couple weeks ago. So when he posted that find to everybody, Jeremy and I were like, hey, let's talk about this. So that was one thing we talked about. And I saw, Shane, you wrote all these numbers all over the sheet. So why don't you talk about that first? Do you pay attention to your shares in your other leagues?
Obviously, like Tim said, you know how I'm always running the check to see how many I got of a guy. That is what I do. I do that a lot, just to make sure. But more so when trading, I'm only really concerned if I have too much of someone that I consider a risky asset, someone like Sammy Watkins, which apparently I only have 3 of, which is also disappointing. But, you know, other players like Odell Beckham Jr., I am in 28 dynasty leagues. I would take him in all 28. Antonio Brown, I would take him in all 28. So it's going to depend on my comfort with that player and that player's current situation.
It's funny because we spoke about it once in the early days of the show, and maybe not as many people were listening at the time, but
2 months ago.
Yeah, I know. We've only been around for a couple months.
12 weeks ago.
But at a certain point in my life, I decided that I want to have fun with this. And it's hard, you know, it's hard to win. You know, you got 12 people in a team most of the time in a league, and only one person's going to win. So for me to have fun with it, I always try to figure out the players that I like, and I try to get them in all the leagues that I can. And you do trades, you do drafts, you do whatever you can to get those players. And a lot of times for me, that is actually a big decision maker on whether I'm going to do a trade or not do a trade. Even with like recently with Joe Mixon, like the one we talked about last week where I did that trade with Joe Mixon, I actually have him in a bunch of my leagues. So then it made me go out and make some offers in some of my other leagues so that on Sunday when I'm sitting there watching football, I'm watching the same people. So when he asked that question, Jeremy and I talked about it again. We were like, oh man, that's exactly what I do. I try to do that. Whether it's right or wrong, it just makes it more fun for me on Sunday to watch. And I see Tim shaking his head. So what is it that you were going to say, Tim?
Yeah, I'm just thinking in my head how I approach my teams. And Shane might have actually, I may steal that wording if without whether or not you care or not.
He won't know, so go ahead.
But when I like a guy, so whether I like Allen Robinson or Brandon, whatever the name, insert name here, if I like that guy, I'm going to go after him and I'm going to get as many shares as I can. I could really care less about what the risk is. But at a certain point, it does become, am I making my rosters a little too risky for what I like to do? And that may be a really good point that I just want to make sure that isn't glossed over. When you're looking at your roster and you're just saying, hey, I'm going to go all in on, if you love Tyreek Hill, I have no problem you saying you're in love with Tyreek Hill and he's going to be your guy. But I don't think you can sit there and also say he isn't a risky asset and I may not want to just diverse my portfolio a little bit and have a couple of shares of other guys that are, whether it's Sammy Watkins so that you can have one of each or just go in a different direction. I think you just need to be aware of what your market share is on certain players like a Tyreek Hill or those guys that may have a little bit more of a cloudy situation.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely a risk in doing it. Jeremy, you were saying?
No, yeah, I totally agree with what he just said. I mean, if it's a risky player like that, I'm going to be careful and think about how many shares I have. Otherwise, if it's players that I've already bought into and I like, I don't even know how many shares I have, and it doesn't necessarily affect how I approach trading for or trading away. I mean, it depends on the league, but, you know, they're just guys that I'm going after, like Tim said. But, yeah, risky players, you want to know how many shares you have, so you might want to trade them quickly. I don't know.
That new microphone's working out for you, Shane. Someone's willing to say you made a smart comment.
I don't understand. So I don't know if anyone else does this, but I swear I have a lot more of a player than I do. And then when I go look, you know, on my fantasy league for that player, and I look at them across my league, and apparently I have them in two leagues.
It's funny. That's what I was just about to mention, that Shane mentioned that a couple times before, that he thought he had more guys. And then once he starts looking at it, he realizes he doesn't have it as much. So
Tyreek Hill, because when we thought about this topic, put it on the show sheet, I decided to look up players that I considered risky. Then I had a brain meltdown and couldn't really think of anyone. except for Sammy Watkins, who, you know, I found three, which isn't bad out of 28 or whatever leagues I'm in. But I didn't think of Tyreek Hill for some reason. But I only have him in one league. It's like subconsciously, I think something stops me from actually trading for these guys that I like, but doesn't let me overtrade for him.
Well, that's the thing. The best part of all Dynasty and Fantasy and everything is, you know, everybody does it differently and there's lots of different ways to do it. And whatever's comfortable for you doing, that's what you do. And I do know that a lot of people say all the time, oh no, I don't want the same guy in every league because if something happens, then you're screwed in all of them. So they want to spread it out. But then when you spread it out, you're sitting there on Sunday watching every single player play. And it's just kind of, at least for me, I'd rather watch a condensed version of the players that I like, you know?
Well, I wanted to say, first of all, that I appreciated that question that at PWin Dynasty posed. And I think we're just going to, I really do. I mean, it's something that we had alluded to in the past and we needed to talk about. And this was actually a really good episode to do that. I'm going to send that guy a hat. Now, don't think this is going to be an awesome hat. This is definitely a hat that you're going to wear to paint or, you know, wash your car in. But we're still going to send you a hat. I mean, if you want it. You might not even want it, but we're going to send
him
a
party hat.
Eventually, we're going to have good quality merchandise to send to people.
I mean, I paid for this out of my paycheck, so I'll send you one. I'll reach out to you on Twitter. Thanks for posing this question. Actually, this was enlightening to me because, as Tim said before, hey, I'm looking at risky players. At the same time, I'm also looking at, hey, how many shares of the highly sought-after players do I have? I know exactly how many shares of Odell Beckham Jr. I have. I know exactly how many shares of, you know, Todd Gurley I have. All the guys sort of at the top, I know. But then, you know, I just found out by doing this exercise that I have 9 of 26 teams, 9 teams, I have Michael Thomas on one end of the spectrum. And then on the other end of the spectrum, obviously I'm going after guys I like because I also have 9 shares of Quincy Anunua out of 2016. So I'm clearly just going after guys that I really like, and I'm stocking up on them. So, I mean, that's one way to do it. If you're sure a guy's good and you like him, just, you know, just get him. I mean, it works. It can. And put him on your deep roster on the bench, you know?
Let me ask you something then. When, you know, we talk about trades and values of players, how do you guys go about throwing stuff out there to let people know what it is you're thinking? Like, do you hold back what you're thinking, or do you just put it out there to try to get some trades done because you want people to know? Like, if you want, say, Joe Mixon, if I wanted Joe Mixon, do you play hard to get? Like, I don't give a crap about that guy. Or do you throw it out there so that people know that that's what you want?
It's going to depend on the trade partner. We talked about this in the DM earlier this week. There are certain trade partners that I don't even want to respond to because they're already in my head. So it feels like they're setting traps for me. So any response I give is going to be the wrong one and hurt me.
I'm happy I was in a league with her, and now I actually co-owned a team with her. I am happy I co-owned that team with her because she messes with your, like, she'll start on this random piece that you're not even thinking about on your roster, and you end up dealing Odell Beckham Jr. for a bag of peanuts. and it's just crazy. She is very skilled. The way I like to mention it, and it was actually on a premium podcast with Chad did with, her name was Betsy, and the way he referred to trading is, number one, your comfort level, but he made the analogy of a cook and a recipe. So the first time you cook something, it's unfamiliar, you're a little leery, you really stick to the recipe, and you kind of just do what's on the piece of paper, and it's very, very straightforward and rigid. But as you get used to it, you might ad lib a little bit, make it a little bit more your own, and get a little bit more comfortable with the actual recipe and putting it together yourself, or maybe adding things here and there. And I really think that's how it works with trading too. You have to have a comfort level on how you're doing it. And then that's when you get to the cooking classes where you're actually, hey, I'm gonna start over here, but I'm actually want to end up over here. Just do your comfort level. If you're a beginner at it, don't try to go crazy with these off the wall trades that just really don't make sense. Just keep it basic when you're first starting out. And then you can add a couple different layers when you get a little bit more comfortable with it.
Yeah, I think when I was asking you guys the question, the underlying thing was what we had talked about with Katie without mentioning that. But it is funny because there are different people that act and respond differently to what you're going to do. And especially if you are in a quote unquote dynasty league, sorry, Shane, with the quote unquote, but
what the hell, why are you using air quotes?
Well, because I'm using air quotes because, all right, look, the reason I'm doing that is because right now,
you know, dynasty is in the name of your show, right?
I understand. Yeah. That, but, like, all right,
we don't
all right.
care about other formats. What are you doing?
What I'm trying to do is, listen, it's the off season right now, and I'm sure there's people out there listening right now that there is a bunch of leagues that have died in the last 2 months. And what happens with a lot of these dynasty leagues, everybody jumps into these leagues and then they die. And when I said quote unquote, I meant that because some of these leagues die, but the ones that stay, that's when you start to know all the people that are in your league. You get to know people's tendencies and you get to figure out how you want to trade with them. Whether the quote unquote was right or not, who cares? But what I'm saying is,
it was definitely the wrong usage of it. You know what?
This is what we do all the time, Tim, but I love you being here. That's awesome. But so, go ahead.
Not just Katie though, but there's a lot of people that, yes, they'll DM me about a trade and they'll try and they'll use a lot of verbiage, and I'll try my best to keep my responses brief and vague because I don't want you to know what's going on in my head.
No, it should.
It's horrible in there. But
no, we're talking about dynasty here. Yeah, yeah. We don't want to know everything that's in your
pad level and getting to the second level. That's exactly. That's what's in his head.
Cap leveling. Getting
to I'm going to have to put some of those blooper things in there. But Shane's face is bright red right now. It's hilarious.
Yeah. I hope this is okay. I know I'm throwing things off.
No, Tim, it's awesome.
No, this is, yeah, this is
what we do every week, man. This is perfect.
This is what we want. Yeah. But go ahead, Shane.
I'll say so far, you're the most fun guest we've had.
Yeah. Let's listen. Let's get back on course.
Come on, let's reel back it. Reel back in.
Yes, come on, Shane. So you were saying.
So a lot of times, you know, guys will DM me, or gals, they'll DM me, ask them my thoughts on a trade, you know, or a trade offer. And I personally, I just want to keep my answers as vague and as short as possible, because I don't want you to know what I think. Because if you know what I think, then you've already got a leg up on me, which is one of the reasons I hate when a certain someone who shall rename nameless, Miss Flower, DMs me. I'm like, do I respond to her? Do I not respond to her? I'm not making any trades. I'm never trading this guy ever. No, this player's on my roster forever. No, I don't have any thoughts. Well, I'm going to lose that trade. So she's in my head.
I like being in leagues with her. I think I'm in at least four leagues with her. It might be five, a few Debbie leagues. And she's great, man. I mean, she's fun to trade with. And she definitely plays hardball. But I like being in leagues with her. I was just thinking about that when you guys were mentioning it before. And she's one of the good ones.
Okay.
Yeah, but in general, I don't want to tell anyone what I'm thinking.
I don't care. I let people know what I'm looking for and what I'm thinking. I don't tip all the cards, obviously, and let them know where I'm going. But I don't want them to think I'm playing a salesy game or playing poker with them. I want them to think that, you know, I'm being here's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm pretty straightforward about it.
I think that it goes back to the whole discussion that we said way back when, is that every league is different, every person is different, and you have to play, you have to figure out what other people do and their tendencies and their thoughts, and then go towards them and figure out how to get a trade done. And every person is different and every league is different. So before we go on to the other part, I know, Jeremy, you wanted to talk about your league that you're trying to get people to sign up for.
Yeah, wow. I thought I had more friends or people who like me on Twitter and things like that. But
Shane, don't say anything.
I'm trying to fill an FFPC league, which is really cool, a standard scoring dynasty league on FFPC, which is the Fantasy Football Players Championship. It's league number 43. If you go out there and check it out, it's through Dynasty Football Factory. I think there's only 3 of 12 signed up right now. Looking for some more people to sign up and play against me. We're going to feature this all season long on the site. We're going to write about it, tweet about it, keep everybody up to speed on everything from the draft to, you know, week to week, all the goings on, and pretty excited. You know, these are high stakes leagues, you know, $77, I guess, is kind of like the minimum high stakes amount. Yeah, I mean, go out to our site and look it up, Dynasty Football Factory, FFPC. And I know Shane has some intimate details because his league already filled, because Shane has more friends than I do.
Yeah, mine filled rather quickly compared to yours. But
well, people know they can beat you rather quickly.
Oh, there's that. Oh. I have a what's been called a kickable face. So yeah, a lot of people want to play against me. They also have the main event that I keep looking at, and I'm ready to hit the join button because we'll actually be out there during that time, and I'd like to be in on the main event for $1,700 buy-ins.
And by the way, listen, all those people that are listening, I'm in leagues with both of those guys, and it really is fun beating both of them.
How would you know?
Oh, believe me. Listen,
you asked someone.
Yeah, we'll pull it up and we'll see it. So
trade alert.
Oh, we got a trade alert here. So what is the trade, Shane?
I'm not going to tell you the sides, because whenever I do, you guys just pick against me out of spite.
No, it just so happens that it's always against you. But go ahead.
So you're saying there's a chance gave up T.Y. Hilton and a 2019 first for Jerick McKinnon and the 2018 110.
I really can't pick because you didn't tell me which side was yours, so so I don't know which side.
First of all, Tim, Shane never tells us what side is his because he always knows that we end up, and it always turns out we end up going against his, whether we know it or not. But
and that I talk you into liking my side.
No. But so, yeah. So, Tim, what do you think about that trade?
In my opinion, it's really fair. Jerick McKinnon right now, boy, before the draft, his value is just going crazy. So I would expect him to be somewhere around that 110, 111 range in terms of his actual value. So you're pretty much trading two late first round picks for T.Y. Hilton. And what you should always guess, it's right around 108 to 110, unless you know it's a really bad team. So I would guess 108. I think that's a fair deal. Either way, I would be pretty happy with it. Some people really like Jerick McKinnon, and if that's a running back needy team, I have no problem thinking that's a good deal. If you're a team that's wide receiver needy, I have no problem saying T.Y. Hilton's a good addition. And then getting a 2019 first is good because you also are getting in a little bit extra to a good wide receiver class. So yeah, I think it's one of those trades that you can actually say, hey, it's pretty even. I personally would probably end up leaning a little bit more towards the Jerick McKinnon side just because I like I like having extra pick this year, and I know where Jerick McKinnon is right now in terms of value.
That's exactly how I feel, Tim. I actually love T.Y. Hilton, and I wouldn't mind having a 2019, you know, round one, you know, pick, but I actually really do think I'd take the McKinnon and the 110 this year over the other one, just slightly though.
It's a risky asset too, because let's face it, we still there's a lot of people out there saying yes, Luck's coming back this year, and that's just something we just don't know for sure. There's no, hey, this guy's going, no one's come out and said I'm playing in 2018, and that makes me nervous as hell for a guy like T.Y. Hilton, who did have a couple big games last year, but still it's a pretty risky proposition.
So, Shane, what stake in this did you have, if any?
You guys agreed with me. So I traded McKinnon. Or no, I'm sorry. I traded for McKinnon and the 110. There's really not much to talk about, I guess, since everyone agreed with me. That kind of makes it suck.
I knew your team name was, so you're saying there's a chance. I knew that was you. So, but it didn't affect me in making my decision. I did slightly like what you got just a little bit better. But I knew that was your team name because nobody comes up with team names like you do.
My team names are terrible. They are, like, here's the thing, too, and I know this is nothing to do with fantasy football. But so I made a decision long ago when people were picking stupid team names like, I don't know, like the Nutcrackers or just something stupid like that. Yeah, so I just like to pick weird little phrases. I don't do the whole two cups, one girl, that type of stuff. I just think those team names are really stupid and they show a lack of imagination. So instead, I just steal quotes from movies and TV shows and use those.
The one thing I decided, especially since working with DFF, is that I ended up just keeping my name with all my teams. So mine's just at FF Blitz on all my teams. It makes it easier to figure out. A lot of times people send me a trade offer and I have no idea which league they're talking about.
That's what I was just going to say. How would you know which team it is?
I was going to say with Sipes, I mean, at his age, he might not remember which team it is if he doesn't
put his name in. Yeah, Tim, it always comes back to my age, no matter what we talk about. So
he's hitting accept because he's thinking he's getting a steal. Meanwhile, he's getting fleeced.
My wife overheard us doing, I always bring her into this podcast because she hates fantasy football. She hates that I do the podcast and all this. But I always bring it up. I bring her up on every podcast. And the funny thing is, one time, I don't know, like she came downstairs. You guys saw her, like she was talking to me. I don't know, whatever. But she's like listening to the voices. She's like, so who's the little kid? I'm like, that's Michael Sipes.
Great. You know,
it sounds so freaking youthful.
It is funny. Everybody makes fun of that. So, all right. So listen, so the final thing we wanted to talk about before we end up tonight is we wanted to talk about some of the mistakes of the trades that we've done over the years and over the time. And one of the things we had written on here was when Shane talks about his biggest weaknesses, about his impulsiveness about doing a trade. And it goes back to what we were talking about dealing with leagues and dealing with people. sometimes he just jumps on a trade and just does it without thinking. And Tim, what do you think is some of your weaknesses or strengths when it comes to doing a trade?
I'd say for me, it's I sometimes practice patience a little too much, and other times I even keep the blinders on a little too much. So you brought up the Michael Thomas example of how many share, or Jeremy, someone brought up the having
that was me.
So someone that was on this podcast brought up having too many shares of Michael Thomas. It's really interesting because he's a guy I felt like I have blinders on because I've never had for more than like a day or two. He's always a guy that I'm really quick to get off of my roster. And the patience part of it, a guy like Kevin White, Dante Moncrief, I am a known Bishop Sankey lover. I still think he got a really raw deal when he was with Tennessee. So those type of guys, I just practice a little too much patience with, and sometimes it bites me in the butt. But along with the mistake, I really think there have been times it's worked out. So maybe a guy like Allen Robinson. No, I wasn't willing to give him up for a 2018 random first just because he tore his ACL last year. That's not something I was willing to do. So it's kind of a little bit back and forth, but those are probably my two biggest, hey, I need to work on this a little bit more things.
What do you think is one of your strengths?
Oh, I send out so many offers. I will say my offers are definitely not always the best, but in terms of communication, everyone always knows that they can come to me, they can start a DM, they can text me, that there's always an open line of communication. And more often than not, I end up working a deal at some point, whether or not I'm it's right where we started or not. We can usually at least come to a common ground in some way. So I would probably say my communication and just being able to continually work on a deal.
So, Jeremy, I know that this was one of your topics that you really wanted to discuss. What are your strengths and weaknesses?
Well, as far as strengths go, and I don't know that this is a strength. I don't know that it always benefits me, but being patient with people and making deals and then trying to establish in dynasty leagues. And I've talked about this before, but sort of like building rapport so that you kind of have a repeat customer, or, you know, guys that don't mind dealing. Hey, I'm thinking about getting rid of Allen Robinson. They come to you first because you've traded with them already. You've made mutual deals. I mean, in dynasty leagues, I'm not trying to just gouge somebody. You know, if I win the trade, it's when I get a guy I like or a deal that I think benefits me slightly and it boosts my team a little bit. I don't need to win big to win a trade. And so I feel like in a lot of my leagues that I like the most, I've built good rapport with people that I've traded with, and I know I can trade with them again. You know, something's going to come up. So I think I would consider that a strength, but that's not in every league. I mean, there are guys that are like, man, I sent you a trade a week ago. I had to send it again. You didn't even respond, because I'm in a lot of leagues. So, you know, it can be a strength, but I value that. And then a weakness is definitely overanalyzing trades. Something that I wasn't really prepared to look at. I'm very tactical. I'm going after these guys. I'm getting rid of the other guys over here. You know, these guys I want, those guys I don't. And I kind of get almost maybe in a box with that. And then somebody sends me a deal and I feel like I have to analyze the hell out of it. Meanwhile, in everything else I do, it's like you can present A, B, C, D, and I know exactly which choice I want. I don't have to think about it very, you know, it's this. That's the best. I want that. Maybe I'll boil it down to two. But when it comes to trades, sometimes guys send them to me and I'm like, you know, I'm not really sure. And I have to look at it. And then I look at it and then I'm not sure still. You know, I kind of overanalyze it. And I wish I didn't have to mull over it. I almost wish I was more like Shane, because I could just put it away. I just, okay, you know what? This is the side I want. I don't care. I'm not even going to look at it. It's Jarvis Landry for my entire roster. I'm doing it, and I'm doing it now because this just feels right. But no, I mean, I want to be more decisive about it. It bothers me that I look at too many details. So,
Shane?
yeah, I guess I'll steal Tim's. I make thousands of offers. I don't know if that's a strike so much as an addiction.
It's important to admit you have a problem.
I'd like to think that my thinking evolves. I don't, you know, there's lots of guys that only think one way and they always think that way. No, I'll never trade a wide receiver for a running back, or I'll never trade a wide receiver one for a running back, things like that. You know, there's just certain things a lot of people just refuse to do, and I'm not really like that.
You're adaptable, and
I'm amphibious.
Have those hard and fast and rigid rules that you live by, and that can benefit you, definitely.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about for myself was where I think that sometimes I like doing it that way. I think one of the weaknesses would be the fact that I do some trades and some moves based on some of the other leagues, just because I like those guys and everything like that. And sometimes that could end up hurting you. But I think with one of the strengths, and I think that everybody, it's something that I think is important for people is to, like you say, adapt, to move on. Some people make a trade and then they've traded all this stuff for a player and then it doesn't work out. But then they don't want to move on because they don't want to admit that they made a mistake. And I think one of the things that I've done in the past is I've realized that, hey, I'm ready to move on if this doesn't work. And I know we spoke about it on a different podcast about waiting on some of the people. And I think in a dynasty league setting with some of these players, I'm ready to move on quicker than some other people are. But if they're not giving me the production I need right now and I can't win, then I'm ready to move on. So whether that's a strength or weakness, I'm not sure, but it's worked for me, so I'm happy with it. And the thing with the whole thing about having the same guy on every team, I wanted to say something back when we talked about it. But last year...
It was like an hour and a half ago.
Yeah, I know. But last year, I just wanted to say one point that we didn't get to was I ended up having a lot of the same guys on the same teams. And I made it all the way to one... In like nine leagues, I was all the way to one game away from the Fantasy Bowl in all these leagues, but every one of them I lost because I had the same guys. So I didn't even make it in the Fantasy Bowl except for one team. So sometimes that can hurt you. So
and calling it the Fantasy Bowl, that also hurts you.
Yeah, I know. We had this all the way back in the first episode. Shane,
yeah,
because
it matters
like
what you call it. A rose by any other name is still a rose. You can call that game whatever you want. We all know that it's a championship. We know what it is, Shane.
And speaking of that, you can go back and listen to some of our older episodes on iTunes, and you can hear where Shane went off on that whole discussion. Yes, Shane, why don't you tell everybody where they can find us?
On the iTunes, leave us a 5-star rate and review. We don't care if you actually think we're a 5-star, but give us one anyway.
No, we care. We want you to think we are.
Podbean, Stitcher. You can also find us on the Google Play, Google Cast, Playbox, all that stuff.
And
some of those aren't actual real words. Yeah, some of those aren't actual words. You can find us on
Truckster, Pod Mother.
God.
Podstar.
You can find us on the iTunes, Podbean.
You can find me on
Listen, Tim has worked out really great tonight. You know, we're going to end up having to have Tim back. That's funny. And you can also find us not on that website he mentioned, but you can find us on.
You know what Tim's going to be? Tim is going to be like he's going to be like the Jay Leno on Johnny Carson. Every time somebody's missing, he's there to take the place.
Except for Jay Leno would never have mentioned porn. So then but you can also find us on our website at dynastyfootballfactory.com, and you can also find all the other podcasts under the Dynasty Football Network that we have.
Go by the Debbie Watch.
Yeah, and go buy the Debbie Watch and go download the IDP Roundup, and there's a whole bunch of great
stuff. I'm on the small college watch thing. We did another thing.
Yes, and also
for small colleges, like for little people.
And also you can jump into our ADP mocks. I know, Tim, that was one of the ways you and I first started talking, because you came into our ADP mocks, which I really appreciated that. Come over to @DFF_ADP and we'll get you in on some of the mocks we have running. And listen, we're very happy to have you, Tim. It was a lot of fun. And is there anything you want to tell everybody before we go?
Well, I'm not really on port. But I hope everyone is enjoying the show. I am on the Under the Helmet podcast. It's a weekly podcast. Myself, Chad Parsons, Katie Flower, Jordan McNamara does a lot of premium content and also written content at uthdynasty.com. We are going to have a live draft show the night of the draft. We're going to do nights 1 and 2. One is usually pretty crazy just because it's first round, but second round is... I really feel that it's going to be good this year because there's so much depth between all the quality picks between Nick Chubb And so I could go on. So just think that this year is really going to be a lot of fun to listen to. So hopefully everyone checks us out for the draft night stuff.
Great. Yeah. And listen, we had a lot of fun with you tonight. And if you'd like to come back again.
I'd love to. Leave a 5-star review. I don't think they do stars over a point. But if you do leave stars on iTunes, I hope you leave a 5-star and say that this was a good show with me on it, and maybe I'll get invited back next time.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. Sure. It's been really great. So, all right, well, thank you again. It's been an awesome show. Thanks, Tim, for being here. We got some great guests coming up, and then we got the NFL draft coming up. And
you got one great guest. Sorry.
Listen, and then you'll have to decide which one of those great guests is the great guest. So thank you very much. We'll talk to you guys next week. See you later.
Peace.
Peace out.